Jeff, you had the opportunity here earlier this month to go to Simi Valley, California for ceremonies marking the 20th anniversary of the passing of former President Ronald Reagan. I'd be interested in your thoughts as to what you see as the main legacy of Ronald Reagan.
Loman, I think without doubt, winning the Cold War was amazing. One of our guests at this event, this was sort of a gathering of Reagan staff and all of that, but one of our guests was Carol Thatcher, the daughter of Reagan's old friend, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. And if you recall, at his funeral, Margaret Thatcher gave a eulogy, and she said he won the Cold War without firing a shot. That's a big deal. And there's a lot of stuff in the library. There's a statue of he and Mikhail Gorbachev sitting there having a conversation, which was taken from a real-life photograph during their first summit, I believe it was. And those summits were always very interesting. And the one I vividly remember, I was in the White House. I didn't get to go to the summit, but he's having this summit was in October of 1986. And we, meaning the White House political staff, had him out campaigning around the country for Republican candidates. And all of a sudden, we had to stop everything dead in its tracks and pull him off because Mikhail Gorbachev wanted to have a summit on nuclear weapons at a schoolhouse, an old schoolhouse in Reykjavik, Iceland, of all places. So off goes the president. And the tale I got back from friends and colleagues that were in the room, they're doing this negotiating, and Reagan is very pleasantly surprised that finally his strategy has pulled some results, and Gorbachev is going to agree to limits on these nuclear missiles. Reagan had put the pressure on, of course, by building the American economy and building up the defense Pershing missiles of the United States and putting them in Europe and all this kind of thing. So Gorbachev was saying enough, 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 and let's have a treaty. So they're just about all done. And suddenly Gorbachev says, but you have to give up research on the Strategic Defensive Initiative, which was Reagan's program that provided for research into the idea of putting satellites with space lasers in space to shoot down any incoming nuclear missile, as opposed to what was then in effect called the MAD doctrine, mutual assured destruction, where if one country fired another, the other would fire back and everybody would be wiped out. Reagan thought that was crazy. So he does this other thing, and all of a sudden, when he thinks they've got an agreement, Gorbachev asks for this, and Reagan says, well, I can't do that. You know, I promised the American people on this. And Gorbachev insists. And Reagan, with that, remember, earlier in his career, he had been a labor negotiator and president of the Screen Actors Guild for about seven terms, I think it was. All of a sudden, Reagan turns to George Shultz, the Secretary of State, literally slaps the table and says, let's go, George. And with that, he gets up and they start to walk out. Gorbachev comes scampering around from the other side of the table. And you can see this now. The pictures from the press are out there, and they're coming down the steps of the schoolhouse. And you can see from the look on Reagan's face, he is not happy. They get to the bottom of the stairs. The Secret Service had the limo there with the open door. Gorbachev puts out his hand. Reagan shakes it. Gorbachev says, I don't know what more I could have done, to which Reagan says very tightly, you could have said yes. With that, he gets in the limo, off he goes, and comes back. The PS to all of this is that was October of 1986. In December of 1987, Gorbachev had yielded. He comes to the White House. I was there for this. And in a very elaborate ceremony in the East Room of the White House, the two of them sign a nuclear arms agreement that reduces the number of nuclear weapons. So in the end, it was a Reagan triumph. So, of course, we discussed that. It was just a great time all the way around. That library is fabulous. And when it opened in the early 1990s, I went. I was invited. President Bush 41 was in office. And then there were presidents, former presidents Reagan, Carter, Ford, and Nixon, with wives, plus, God bless her, Lady Bird Johnson, who was, of course, a widow at that point. And then celebrity-wise, there was Arnold Schwarzenegger, doubtless already thinking someday he could be governor of California. And quite poignantly, John F. Kennedy Jr. and Sister Caroline, and the deal with that was presidents, of course, in and out of office, raise money for their libraries. And for obvious reasons, President Kennedy was not able to do that. So John and Caroline came to see President Reagan and asked if he would step in for their father and host a fundraiser. And he said he would be happy to. And a real mark of his character. So one night in, I think it was 1985, Ted Kennedy, Senator Ted Kennedy, had a fundraiser for the library, the John F. Kennedy Library, at his home in McLean, Virginia, which featured President Ronald Reagan. So it was quite poignant. John and Caroline showed up for Reagan's. So it was an interesting place. That library, if your audience ever has the chance, it's just gorgeous. It sits on top of a mountain in Simi Valley, California, about 45 miles north of Los Angeles. And well aside from the library itself, I'm always sort of amused by this. Down below in the valley, as I say, this sits on top of a mountain. Down below in the valley, one of the first things I was told about that area when I went out there the first time, if you're old enough, you remember all these Western TV series on TV when you were growing up as a kid, The Lone Ranger, Roy Rogers, that sort of thing. They were filmed down there in that valley. So, you know, I stand there and look out and I see the Lone Ranger and Tonto.
That library is indeed an impressive place. I've been fortunate to be there myself a couple of times, also to see the Air Force One that Ronald Reagan utilized is in a hangar there. And Jeff, just before we wrap up, you did have an opportunity to work in the Reagan White House. Tell us a bit about how you personally interacted with the president.
Well, he was great. The very first time I was new on the staff, and we had an event where he was going to go to a local hotel in Washington to be the centerpiece of a fundraiser for Republicans in the House. And so we are backstage, and he looks over and says, "Well, are you with me?" "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am." And then after that, you know, I would be with him for various events in the Oval Office and traveling around and all of that kind of thing. But he was such a kind man. And I remember on one occasion, my parents were visiting me, and I brought them into the Oval Office to meet President Reagan. And he does the boss thing and basically assures them that it's just him and their son who's busy ending the Cold War and winning. And he goes on at length like this, and then he says, "Well, let's do a family picture." So we do pictures, and I have them, you know, framed, of course, of introducing mom and then dad to him, and then we're all together in a photograph and all this kind of thing. Then when we're done, we head out. My parents head out of the Oval Office first. I'm last. I turn around and said, "Thank you, Mr. President." He says, "Did I do all right?" "Yes, sir, you did. Thank you."
"Yes, sir, Ronald Reagan, you indeed did do all right." Jeffrey Lord. Jeffrey Lord was a political director at the White House during the Reagan administration. You can see him now on Newsmax TV. Also read his writings in the American Spectator. Jeff, you also have your own podcast and writings. Where can folks find that?
My podcast is The Word of the Lord with Jeffrey Lord. And my website is thejeffreylord.com.
Jeffrey Lord, thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.